Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. We are here again with you live, in fact, this week. It's been a while since we've been live, but December 1st, Thursday. So we're bringing back the live shows again. Real quick recap for those of you who have forgotten because it's been so long. Thursday nights, starting at about 9 p.m. Eastern, we do Random Chatter and then followed by Outer Rim. And then Tuesdays, we do Echo Base at 9 p.m. Eastern. And, you know, I'm thinking about, this isn't probably something I should talk about on the podcast, but I'm going to anyway because I just don't care. What do you guys think about maybe rebranding the Outer Rim? Because when we were on the Forcecast Network, it was all Star Wars shows, and then there was this non-Star Wars show that was like kind of off in the corner. And in Star Wars, the Outer Rim is kind of the stuff that's like out off in the corner. So it fit. But now on an entertainment-based podcast network, covering entertainment-based news isn't so much the Outer Rim. It's more like the core world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like the name doesn't really work anymore.
Hmm. I can see that.
So, I don't know, just a thought. We may need to look at that for the new year. I throw it out here because maybe our audience will have some comments on it too. I don't know.
Oh, I thought because you're so good at making names up, I figured you'd be all set with this.
I need to start now because if we're going to have this new name done by January of 2019.
start now in December, yeah.
Yeah, I've only got 4 years left, so.
You know, while we're talking about timing and what's coming up and how far things are away.
Uh-huh.
2 weeks from tonight.
I know, right?
Oh yeah. I didn't even realize that.
I thought at home, like, oh, yes.
Yes, the book will finally come out and we can read Rogue One, a Star Wars story. we should have like a reading group. We can like all read together over Skype. We can take turns. We'll each read a chapter.
Yeah, you can do that while I'm watching the movie.
Well, dude, why would you want to spoil the book by seeing the movie first?
Yeah, I hear the book is always better.
It is.
The way I roll.
Yeah, well, think about it. You get like
first, yes.
12 hours worth of reading out of the book. You only get like 2 hours out of the movie, 2.5 hours.
Okay, I'll see if I can find somebody else to use that second ticket I bought then.
Well, we'll talk. We'll talk. we'll figure something out.
2 weeks from tonight, Rogue One. I can't wait. 7 o'clock show. Oh, yes.
This is a good month for...
I didn't even break out my... remember those glasses we bought at Rogue One?
Oh, yeah. Mine are still sealed at The Force Awakens.
Right. Yeah. And they're all for... they didn't work with the IMAX screen we saw. I mean, we just bought the glasses because we wanted them. But they could work with the real D3D.
Oh, really?
This week. Yeah.
Ah, I might have to break mine out then. Because, it would be cool having those instead of the Rogue One glasses that everybody else is going to have. We could be unique. You know,
they probably just get the regular classes that, you know.
Yeah. This is actually a really good month. We've got Rogue One coming out.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a Star Wars tabletop gamer, the Star Wars Destiny card game came out today. Let's see what else. I can't count anything that's come out prior to today because, of course, today is the first of the month. Con Man Season 2.
Yep.
Is coming out. The next book in the Expanse series is coming out.
Oh, really? I forgot about that.
Yeah, in about a week, I think.
Awesome.
Maybe it's either next Tuesday or the Tuesday after, I think.
I'll put my December credit from Audible to use.
Yeah. Yeah, no, December's a good month. We've got some good stuff this time around. So, now one of the things that we're going to have to figure out in December is we want to do another movie draft. Do we include Rogue One?
You know, it's funny. That's a good question.
I had a long talk with someone about this. And a long talk. And I think between the two of us, we changed our minds about 3 or 4 different times about it's definitely the right choice. It is definitely a horrible choice. You can't do it. No, this is absolutely the way we have to go. Like... It was like we completely, like, we figured it out. And then we figured out, no, that's wrong. And we figured it out the other way. And we kept changing. And each time it made perfect sense. Like, this was the only solution. So I don't know.
But, you know, part of me says, you know, keep it in because I really want to see the bidding war go up to like, you know, $80.
Yeah, I mean, it does not guarantee you're going to win.
Right, right. But then part of me says, you know what, just take it out so there's just not even that distraction for everything else, you know.
Right.
Because it's going to so far skew the results that even if you spent $90 on it, you could win the whole thing.
Yeah.
I say we keep it in just because you never know what kind of money it's going to bring.
But then you're going to have one person who's going to get it, and they're basically going to be all in on this movie. So their entire movie draft is going to rotate around them gambling on Rogue One versus the collection of everything else. Not Rogue One versus another movie, but Rogue One versus various other random collections of movies. And there are actually some fairly big movies coming out at the end of the season, at the end of the winter season. So I think in one weekend, we've got John Wick 2, we've got the Lego Batman film, and we've got the sequel to 50 Shades of Grey, all in one weekend. Any one of those could be huge, if not all three. So I don't know. I kind of feel like I want to leave it in as an experiment, but then there's going to be one person who's either going to be, I mean, they're basically flipping a switch and they're walking away with everything or they're walking away with nothing.
Well, I guess the question is, and then if you're putting it into the draft, do you put it early just to get out of the way? You let somebody blow their entire budget on that one movie? Or do you hold it for the end, see who's got any money left and see what the
I think we start with it. Down to. Like, as much as I like the idea of having everything be random, I think we start with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're going to have to figure that out. We will be doing a new movie draft episode by the end of the month, if not prior to Rogue One. So we'll keep you guys posted on that. The final the results are in from the previous movie draft. In short, Kyle is the winner. So,
yay.
Yeah.
I think he was the winner after like the first 3 weeks.
It's official now, though. So, yeah, Kyle is the winner. So congratulations, Kyle. And like I said, we're going to have more info pretty shortly. Before we get into this episode of Random Chatter, I want to give a shout out to Clayton from Cell Dweller and Scandroid and Circle of Dust and a crap load of other things and projects that take the whole show to list, basically. But Chris, you and I did an awesome interview with Clay. Well, you and I did an awesome interview. Makes it sound like it was because of us that the interview was awesome. we had an awesome interview with Clayton from Cell Dweller, and we're going to have that posted this coming week, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Lou, I'm sorry you missed it.
Yeah, I'm sad, but I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, it was really good. So we need to find an excuse to get him on the show again soon. But so look for that on the Cordcast. Really, really, really good stuff. I thought it was an awesome interview. And the sad part was we had so many questions.
We didn't even get through half of them.
Not even half. Not even half. And then, like, at the tail end, the ones we did get to, we had to cut short.
Yeah.
It was like, what's your favorite movie? Star Wars. Okay, moving on. It's not like why or what made it your favorite. We didn't actually ask him that, but it's like, you know, we could have delved into some of those questions a little further even. And but we're just grateful for whatever time he was able to give us. We had a good, probably 45 minute interview. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was a good solid interview. It's just I could have gone for like 4 hours, but that's okay. Interestingly enough, we covered very little Cell Dweller stuff. Almost none at all.
Yeah, most of it was about Circle of Dust and Scandroid.
Yes, which is cool because it's something that a lot of people don't know about that he does that's just as awesome. But it was kind of weird finally getting to interview the guy behind Cell Dweller and not talk at all about Cell Dweller.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a really good episode. So, you know, it's been a little while since we've done kind of a catching up and what we've been doing recently. We had Paul Herman on last episode, and that was a lot of fun. The audio quality, I apologize, it wasn't the greatest, but it was a lot of fun. We got a lot of feedback from that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest question I think a lot of the listeners had was, when is Paul getting his own show on the Random Chatter Network? I offered once. I'll contact him and offer him again. He's got an open invitation. So, yeah, that we might have to see if we can make that a thing somehow. But so also shout out to Paul. Thanks for being on the show, man. So, but you know, let's catch up a little bit. What have you guys been up to? Have you seen anything good recently? Have you done anything interesting? Or are you guys just a bunch of couch potato bums who like have no life?
Couch potato bums.
But that was my part of the contribution. You guys can't do. You guys have to do something else. Copycats. It's like we're going to the dance. Oh, and we're all wearing the same dress.
The Harry Potter spinoff thing.
Oh yeah, how was it?
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Was it fantastic?
It was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Was it beastly?
No, not really.
Oh.
But no, I enjoyed it. I mean, I've always enjoyed the Harry Potter films. I'm not a huge Harry Potter buff, but yeah, this felt like an adult version of that. So
awesome. Okay. Yeah, my wife got to go see it. I did not. Yeah, it sounds pretty cool.
Well, otherwise, I had a much easier time getting Rogue One tickets than I thought.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
I was a little more concerned this time because the theater I wanted to go to was the reserved seating.
Yeah.
Last time I just, you know, as long as I got a ticket, I was okay because we were going to go wait the whole day there and get in. This time I wanted to make sure I got in quickly because I didn't want to have to get one of the seats down in front where the, you know, you're looking up at the screen all the time.
Right. And it's already hard enough to get a ticket at some places, but then you get
in. Yeah,
and
most of the reserved seating ones I go to, there's not a lot of seats in them. I mean, they're huge recliners. They're really nice and comfortable, but it means there's very few seats in a theater compared to, you know, a regular large theater. So I was concerned, but I got pretty good seats, I thought, so I'm happy.
So two things, Lou, thank you for picking one up for me too. And number two, how far away is it? It's still in New England somewhere, right?
It's like 15 minutes from my house. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's not bad. All right. Chris, what about you?
Well, I've not been up to really anything interesting, to be honest. I'm still watching Timeless, which,
yeah,
if you're not watching that, you're missing out.
I gotta catch up. I don't care about history.
It's time travel.
I know, but it's not about it's not about time travel. It's about them going back and revisiting, you know,
very few time travel shows are about the time travel. I mean, really, when you come right down to it.
Listen, I'm not saying it's a bad show. It's not. It's a great series. It's just, it's hard for me to get into it.
And honestly, I feel like if this was about time travel, it wouldn't be that good. Like, right now, I'm in it for the history and the story, not necessarily the mechanics of time travel. But I've read reviews of people criticizing the show because they failed to explain the time travel. I'm just like, I don't care.
I don't care. Yeah, it's time travel.
Time travel is not real.
You can't really explain it because it's not real.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know that it's real. You don't know that it's not real. You can't prove a negative. Listen, I'm with you guys. It's about the characters.
Yeah, question they say, if time travel, we know time travel has never been invented because we would know about it already.
Unless you can't go backwards in time, you can only go forward. Or unless everybody who did it agreed to not go back. Just to piss off all the people who were saying, well, if it had happened, we would have already known. You know, just to, I don't know. It's a good show. Don't get me wrong. The characters are good. The stories are good, but I don't get into the history angle. It's just not my thing.
Well, there's the whole, I mean, Chris and I were talking about this before. Timeless has a whole aspect of the mystery of, you know, the bigger conspiracy going on. So
now that I could get into.
That's what I really like about the show, really. Because it's just, you know, you can second guess things and who's part of the conspiracy, who's not, you know, what role is this person playing? It's just really entertaining.
Yeah. I will admit there has been a few parts of the story that I might miss, or like there was something in the most recent episode that I saw that apparently I missed when it was revealed in an episode before. So, you know, sometimes I feel like maybe that's not the best way to, you know, go about developing your characters. If like you have audience member, or you have audience members watching that, you know, get lost. I mean, I usually don't get lost when it comes to stuff. Like once I start to know the characters, like I see the revelations and, you know, I don't really miss anything, but this just went right
over
my head.
It's almost one of those shows where you really need to watch the episodes twice.
Yeah.
And I haven't, but it feels like that kind of show. Like whenever I do, whenever I'm a guest on one of Jay's shows for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever, I always make sure I watch the episode at least two or three times to make sure I catch every little thing that's going on so I'm not lost.
Yeah.
And I feel this is one of the shows where you probably need to do that because there's just so much going on and so much intrigue that you need to make sure you catch every little bit and piece.
Mm-hmm. I've told people to wait maybe and binge it because I feel like if you binge watch this, it would maybe connect a little bit more.
Yeah, this is definitely a bingeable show, yep.
That's what I'm planning to do. I've been saving it. I'm going to binge watch
it. Good excuse, yeah.
No, I've got it on my DVR. You can ask my wife. I've been saving it. I will get back to it, but I think that binge watching it will help me keep that momentum, that inertia going.
But this kind of show, I think it'd be a big plus. So
yeah.
The other one that's almost over is Westworld. That one's almost over now too, right?
Isn't the finale this weekend?
I think it's a Sunday. Yeah.
Yep.
Because I saw that and I was like, I'm gonna wait now because I have pretty much the whole month of November where I don't have school, so I'm just gonna binge Westworld if I can.
The fan theories for Westworld have been fascinating, and the level of accuracy that the theories have had, even back when there was no reason for them to necessarily jump to those conclusions, has just been staggering.
I haven't actually read any of them yet. I figured I'd watch the series once and read some of the fan stuff and go back and watch it again, maybe.
If they're going the way it looks like they're going, you won't even need to read the fan stuff. At the end of the finale, you'll be like, oh, wow, that explains all kinds of things. And then you're going to go back and rewatch all the episodes.
Well, I'm still an episode behind. I didn't watch last Sunday's yet.
Go. Last
binge these two together.
Last episode was a big one.
Well, the episode before that was when they had that one big reveal.
Yep. Tip of the iceberg.
Like, at the very end, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say tip of the iceberg, but there's more there. There will be an equally important reveal in this past episode.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you definitely want to check it out. I watched, I think this was the day before Thanksgiving, I watched the 30th anniversary edition of Double Dare.
Wait, there was a 30th anniversary edition of Double Dare?
Yes, they did a reunion episode. For those who don't know, Double Dare was like the first, it wasn't really reality TV, but it was, if it were, it would be to this day the best thing that's ever happened to reality TV, but it was a show on Nickelodeon. It was a game show that basically started out as trivia, then if you couldn't answer the question, you could do a physical challenge, and it was kind of a very slapsticky, messy, pie-in-the-face sort of game show. And then at the end, whichever team won had to go through this this obstacle course that was kind of like a human Rube Goldberg machine. And yes, Carrie in the chat room, Double Dare was 30 years ago. Don't you feel almost as old as we do? Yeah, that was a really good show, though. I loved that show. And they had, I don't know if it was from Wired or where it was. It was some website that had a lengthy interview with the producers and Mark What's-His-Face, the host, and like all of this stuff about breaking down the, you know, the expense of the props and how the first episode, they had one of the flags for the first obstacle in big pile of feathers. And, you know, simulating like feather pillows, and you had to tear it open to get it. And like, they couldn't get the flag on the first obstacle. So they let him do it again, and they still couldn't get the flag. And it took like three or four times before they could actually get the first flag from the first obstacle from a course that's supposed to be done in 60 seconds. The smells and the odors from some of the stuff they would use with different types of fluids and liquids and gels and stuff like that, that things they couldn't get cleaned off of the set properly, and all kinds of weird stories. And I'm like, I'm really looking forward to this reunion show. It's going to be awesome. It was the worst thing ever. It was, first of all, they had, the two teams were comprised half of like just regular people and half of grown up actors from some show from Nickelodeon a long time ago that I've never even heard of. And so it was all adults. And it was so scripted. Not the trivia questions and stuff, of which there were like maybe three questions out of the whole half hour. But everything that was an interaction with the host and the former assistant and the former voiceover guy and the obstacles and stuff, it was like they were reading off of really badly written cue cards. Very badly. It was atrocious. It was not quite Michael Bay destroying my childhood level of bad, but it was like they were really shooting for that Michael Bay level.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, and another blast from the past here, Carrie in the chat room. Yeah, you can't do that on television. I remember that one too. Where Alanis Morissette got her start.
Wow.
Yeah, she was a cast member on that.
Don't remember that.
Yeah, that's where that whole green slime thing came from.
The Double Dare, right? Yeah.
No, from You Can't Do That on Television.
Really? That was a green slime?
Huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Netflix,
I must be too old for that.
Has had a lot of new series out, and I just watched one over the last few days. It's 8 episodes, so it's easy to binge watch. It's called 3%. And when you log into Netflix now, they've got the big banner with whatever their new show is they're trying to promote. They've been cycling through them. This is one of the ones that pop up there. And it's in Portuguese and English. And I think it's made in Brazil, if I recall correctly. And I don't get into the dubbed and subtitled stuff that much. And I looked at the premise and it looked awesome. And then I'm playing it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, let me change the audio to English. Yeah, I'm probably not going to stick with this. But it was really interesting. So I'm not going to get into it. Or,
well, you know, what's it about?
Well, just basically, it's
one sentence.
Kind of near future world. Things are really bad off for most of the population. And the top 3% are selected from the population to go live in this offshore place known as the offshore. It's like it almost looks like it might be an underworld colony or something. The show's not really about what happens there, but it's just about trying to get out to go to this utopia. So what happens is when you turn 20, you can go participate in this big series of psychological tests and group tests and things like that to whittle it down to the top 3%, and those are the ones who were selected to go. But of course, then there are things going on behind the scenes and blah blah blah. So it's pretty good though. It's not like hard science fiction-y, but it's got just enough of that to be interesting, and the premise, of course, is kind of interesting. Yeah, it's pretty good. Lastly, have either of you guys played Final Fantasy?
Yep. No.
Lulu.
I've never ever played any of the Final Fantasy games, actually.
Wow.
I know. I'm not sure why.
I would say play Final Fantasy VII, but I think that most of the people who like playing it now, it's more of a nostalgia thing. I don't know how well it really holds up. Had the best magic system of any video game ever. You have sockets in your weapons, and you put these crystals and gems into the sockets in your weapons, and then these crystals gain experience points along with the characters, and the crystals will level up, and then you can even have the crystals like spawn off into new crystals and like basically reproduce. And you can link two crystals together. Like if you had one that does fire damage and then you had another crystal that was all, then you could do fire all, which would do an area of effect fire attack. Or you could do cure all and it would cure your entire party. So you could mix and match different effects with different things. Really cool system. I wish they'd go back to it. But so Final Fantasy, what's weird about it is every game is its own story in its own world that is 100% independent of everything else.
Really? They're not connected at all?
No, it'd be the equivalent of saying Final Fantasy IV is Star Wars, Final Fantasy V is Star Trek, Final Fantasy VI is Babylon 5. Like, just 110% completely removed.
Okay. I would have never
there
guessed
are
that.
Sequels to some of the games, but
that is true.
That's it.
Yeah, there's
like
10 and 10.5 or something.
10 and 10.2. There was actually Final Fantasy 15 was originally Final Fantasy 13 spinoffs.
Oh, that's right.
But then those games kind of got delayed, and then they. They redid everything and combined it all into be Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah.
Okay.
Final Fantasy 15.
Is it online multiplayer? Is it no. Story mode? I mean,
no, it's all single player.
Okay.
Yep.
It's been 10 years in the making. They've had production problems. They've rebooted parts of the game. The previous Final Fantasies, my understanding is the reception has been a little chilly.
Yeah, the 13 was, I liked 13, but a lot of people didn't. 12 was all right. And then the last single player one before that was 10, which again was just okay. They probably haven't had a really strong game really since. Probably 8, but you can probably argue 9 too.
Hmm. Okay. 7 is kind of the pinnacle, though. In fact, Final Fantasy 7 is considered one of the classic video games of all time, it seems like.
Yeah, there's a reason they're remaking that one.
Yeah.
So if that's the one that you want to play, why do I want to get a new one?
Well, because that one's not out yet.
Oh, okay.
It's not like you're just going to not buy a video game until the one you want is coming out.
Maybe.
Well, okay. I mean, if that's
okay, well, what's so good about this one? I mean, why should I pick up?
I don't know yet. I started playing it. First of all, there's a movie called Kingsglaive that is kind of a prequel to the game. And while I don't think it would stand alone on its own as just a movie, like as a theatrical release or something like that, if you have any interest in the game at all, I thought the movie was phenomenal. Some of the best CG humans I've ever seen. And
yeah, the trailer looked awesome for it. I saw the trailer.
Yeah, yeah. And it sets up the game so beautifully. This is like the best opening cinematic a game has ever had. And it's like 2 hours long.
2 hours cinematic. Nice.
Yeah. But it's a full length movie. It's got Sean Bean does some of the voice acting, Lena Headey from Game of Thrones. Yep. A couple of other people, whose names slip by me at the moment, but you know, it's got A-list actors.
So what you're saying is I should watch the movie to see if I want to play the game.
I don't know whether the movie would make you want to play the game, but I will say this: after watching a lot of videos of the game and being completely confused about the environment and the setting, watching the movie made me feel very comfortable going into the game.
Isn't there a demo of it?
What's that?
Isn't there a demo?
There may be.
I thought there was.
So here's the thing about Final Fantasy 15. It's a little strange because in the past, you know, some of the games have been very fantasy based. Some have been a little more like Final Fantasy VII was almost more post-apocalyptic science fiction. This one there are two different kingdoms. One kingdom is getting the upper hand and is about to wipe out your kingdom. And the kingdom is offered a peace treaty, and so there's about to be a peace treaty, but there's some other things going on behind the scenes that maybe things will work out, maybe they won't. There's magic involved. You know, you've got kings with, like, the old medieval-style regal gowns and, you know, king's courts and stuff like this, and his guards are all wearing full plate mail armor, carrying machine guns, and, you know, driving around the streets outside of the castle in the New York-style city with, you know, high-powered muscle cars and tanks and one undercover person driving a minivan. It's a little weird. But here's my thing. I swear I'm not going to turn this into a rant. I'm going to try my best.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie, you've got this like New York City environment where most of the movie takes place. And then far off, you've got the other kingdom, Tenebrae, which is like this very druidic trees everywhere and this more kind of new age architecture and all that. And I'm thinking, okay, great. I love the stuff going on here. So then you get into the game. The premise of the game is that the king's son, Prince Noctis, he is your character. That's who you play in the game. And he and his three companions are out on a road trip because the prince is due to be married to the princess from this other country, this other kingdom. So you start out this game, and here I am in a car with three other guys. The car breaks down right out of the gate. And so you have to run around while you wait to get the car fixed. In Nevada, not literally Nevada, but once again, I'm stuck in a desert.
But you like sand.
I'm in a Final Fantasy game, and I'm pushing a dead car through Nevada. Where is the fantasy part of that? It didn't fit. Now, unfortunately, the game is actually really good, so I'm enjoying it. But Lou, okay, you should pick it up. I think you'd like it.
I might look into it.
Chris, have you actually picked it up?
No, I don't have a console for it.
Okay. All right.
But that's
you can still pick
list.
It up.
Yeah, you can still get it.
That's on my list when I get a console.
Yeah. It's been getting a lot of really good critical reviews. People are saying it's phenomenal. I guess one of the final dungeons in the game, people are saying, is one of the best gaming experiences they've had in decades.
Cool.
And the chat room, Carrie says, at least there aren't any zombies. Well, that's true.
I have one more thing before we get into the discussion topic.
Yeah.
Since it's December and, you know, it's Christmas season, we're putting up our Christmas trees and stuff. I always do mine the weekend after Thanksgiving, so last weekend I put my tree up, and I did this. Okay, can you hear that?
Barely, yeah.
That's my Death Star tree topper.
Now, I remember you talking about this before, but was it in Slack?
It comes with a remote, so, you know.
Was it on the podcast?
We probably talked about it on our Star Wars podcast.
Okay, I was going to say, because you had some difficulties with it.
I did, yeah. It still works. There's part of the lights that are out that I guess is a known problem. And Hallmark never got back to me or anything, so, meh. I'm not going to spend $100 on another one to see if I can get a better one and then be stuck with a partially, you know, as Chris said it, a non-fully functional tree topper. But
well, you buy one, and then if it works, you exchange the other one and say, hey, this was defective.
That's true.
You use the receipt from the one you just bought. It's not unethical because you did, in fact, get one that was defective upon purchase. But yeah, it's still kind of a pain to have to deal with.
But you can't find them anywhere. I mean, they're sold out everywhere. So.
Yeah, I know.
That's the other thing. I didn't want to return this and then try to find one when I couldn't get one. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to chance it.
Yeah.
So it does sit atop the tree, and it's glowing, and it's nice. It's pretty. I'm not sure my wife is as happy as I am with it, but, you know, hey.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. She will come to love the glow of the Death Star. The festive holiday spirit of an entire planet designed to obliterate other planets.
And, you know, I will say this. When you hear the Star Wars theme, you know, the main theme, it just
kind of gets you in the mood.
Smile. It just, yeah, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Sorry, I just wanted to, you know, play with the remote and...
No, that's very cool.
So.
All right, so we can go on to the main discussion. We can talk about Star Wars Destiny. We can talk about something else. It is random chatter, and we're already a good 35 minutes into the show, so... And I don't know how this discussion is either going to be really long or really short. What do you guys think?
The discussion sounds pretty good, so I'm interested. Right. To get
yeah.
Okay.
We should talk about it.
So this comes courtesy of The Verge. Apparently, while I was totally not paying attention to the Twitterverse, there were a couple of tweets going out showing that CNN was airing porn over Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown show. And let me tell you, those parts definitely were not unknown. Okay, that was lame. Anyway, so what happened was, specifically, there was a cable provider in Boston, I guess called RCN. Not to be confused.
We have our own cable provider?
Random Chatter Network. Yeah,
we have
our
own cable network? I didn't know that.
Been trying to get you
awesome.
To get your video set up, dude. I don't know. Yeah, apparently this cable provider in Boston took CNN's Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown show and overlaid it with porn instead. And I think like it even had what they call the lower third, which is that little text bar that pops up at the bottom where it gives like, you know, the reporter's name and location when they're on a live set or something. Like that stuff down at the bottom was still for Anthony Bourdain. It's just you were getting parts that were not unknown on the video. So then a bunch of other news sites started posting about it. Apparently there was like 30 minutes worth of porn footage that was up on CNN. And then other news outlets started picking up on it. The Independent, The Drudge Report, Mashable, The New York Post, The Daily Mail, Esquire, Variety. What's interesting was the articles were all based on just a couple of tweets by this one user who had put it out there. CNN was never contacted to give any comments. The whole thing was fake.
Wait a minute. It was fake?
The whole thing was fake.
Oh, my God.
It you know, never
see, I heard about this,
happened.
But I didn't know it was fake.
It was fake. It never happened.
The whole thing about... it's always better to be first than right nowadays when it comes to media. And if one person's saying it, like 10 other sites just re-say the same thing. It's like, did anybody fact check this? Did anybody, you know, what happened to reporting and actually doing some research?
And, you know, it's kind of, it's like true journalism is kind of a dying breed. But here's the thing. Contact CNN.
Right.
Like that takes a phone call. How,
well, you know,
of all of the things I understand, like, you know, not spending hours and hours and hours of investigating if you don't want to get scooped on this, but it's a phone call. How hard is that?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I mean, it's funny because as you're doing this, I typed in porn on CNN into Google to see what came up.
Oh, sure you did. Skip the first 300. Results.
Well, the first thing that comes up is The Verge. It says the title is CNN Porn Scare is How Fake News Spreads.
Yes.
So they're probably reporting on this whole thing that we're talking about right now.
Exactly.
Now, that's the where next I'm three or four of them here from. Are from websites I've never heard of. TheNextWeb.com. CNN may accidentally broadcast 30 minutes of hardcore porn. PolitiFact.com. Reports that CNN showed porn instead of Anthony Bourdain.
PolitiFact.com?
What's that?
They have fact right in their
yeah,
name.
Yeah. PolitiFact.com, yeah. Then the fourth one down is Fox News saying, report CNN aired porn in Boston may be a hoax. So it was like three of these top five here are all basically other networks saying, yeah, this happened.
Yep.
Did you?
Well, so here's the thing.
Check it?
They're covering their tracks by saying it may have happened. CNN may have just aired 30 minutes of porn.
You're right.
But they state it in such a way that, wow, hey, CNN just put porn up on the air. And
right.
It's, listen, I may have won the lottery. Maybe. I mean, you don't know that I didn't.
Right.
Does that mean you should go put it all over the internet? No. Things that may or may not have happened aren't really a story until you know whether they happened.
That reminds me of George Carlin did a thing on the whole airline, the safety briefing on the airline. And when you get off, it says, check for any items you may have brought on board. It's like, well, I may have brought my Arrowhead collection on board, but I didn't, so I'm not going to look for it.
Right.
But yeah, it seems irresponsible for a news organization to say this happened or may have happened even because somebody else reported it.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that like, we got in trouble in school for copying off your neighbor's paper, right? I mean, this is the same kind of thing.
Right.
Well, Eric had C for number 5, so I'm going to write down C for mine, yeah.
Well, and it must be true because someone else who isn't an expert on the subject said it was.
Right.
They wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true, right? So here's the second part of this. Now, I actually got this also from The Verge, though this is a result of a Wall Street Journal study that at the time of the Verge article was yet to have been posted. This study, I guess, was posted day before yesterday, which I have not yet read. But according to what The Verge was saying, the Wall Street Journal was saying, reporting that they would report. That basically, the preview that Wall Street Journal gave. Mm-hmm. They were doing a study. The article from The Verge, most students can't tell the difference between sponsored content and real news. So this was the largest study to date of how young people, including at least middle school kids, I don't know if it also covered high school and elementary school, but how they evaluate their news sources online. In this study, 82% could not tell the difference between a sponsored post and an actual news article on the same site.
Wow.
That's kind of scary.
Less than 2 out of every 10 people was able to say, no, that's a sponsored post.
That is so bad.
Yeah. Almost 70% of middle schoolers thought that it was okay to trust a sponsored finance article written by the CEO of a bank. And then, according to this report, many students evaluated the validity of tweets based on the size of the attached photos and the level of detail in the text. So, in other words, as long as you sound like you know what you're talking about and you took the time to make a good picture, a good quality picture, you must be reporting a fact.
Wow.
That's scary.
It's very scary. And, all of this stuff recently with the election.
Yeah, a lot of this happened during the election.
And people talking about all the false news stuff. And I won't bring up examples, but, I mean, my gosh, they're not hard to find. They're all over the place of examples of things being reposted by people and retweeted and sent around everywhere as if it's fact when it's very, very easy to fact check a lot of these things and discover within a few seconds that it's not. Listen, I'm going back to school, going back to college, and I'm a straight A student mainly because I take the time to actually put the work in. So I do well, but I hate writing papers because you have to research stuff. And I can write a paper, I can crank out, 4 or 5 pages in an hour or two, something like that. But I've got to spend a week and a half to 2 weeks just researching and sifting through article after article after article to find the 1 or 2 pieces of information I want. But then that's not good enough. They want you to have 10 different citations. So then the other 80% of the citations are basically me just going and finding filler to put in my paper. It's obnoxious. So I get people not wanting to go research your own stuff in your own free time just to figure out whether what you're reading on the internet's true or not. But I'm telling you, some of these things, most of these things, 10 seconds. These people probably spent more time retweeting and reposting a lot of these stories than they did actually making sure that they were true.
Well, it's funny. I remember in high school, I was always taught to ignore places like Wikipedia because anyone can edit them. So it's not always going to be true.
Right.
But honestly, I would much rather go to Wikipedia, see what, you know, articles and whatever the subject is I'm researching, find articles, read them, see what the sources are that's cited there, because, you know, probably 7-8 times out of 10, that's going to be accurate and from a good, you know, newsworthy place.
Right.
And, you know, use that rather than Googling, I don't know, hitting Google News and then, or even just web and typing the topic in, because, you know, you're probably going to get really factually incorrect stuff.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Are you
honestly
guys familiar with a website called Snopes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I used to live by that website. Years and years and years ago, when people were just, the general populace was just learning how to use the internet, I was the person that everybody was contacting, you know, my family, my friends, my coworkers, saying, is this true? I just got this email saying this. Did this actually happen? And because, of course, the obligation was that then you send it to 10 of your friends. And if you didn't, then God was going to rain down fire and destruction upon your entire life. So they had to know before they sent it off to 10 more of their friends. So I was always sending people links to Snopes.com, where they go and they debunk all of these things, and they will tell you whether it's fact or fiction. And I'll never forget the one article there. They were talking about Mr. Ed, the old black and white TV show from way, way back, you know, the talking horse and all that. And they were talking about, there was an article about why Mr. Ed went off the air. And it was because color television was just starting to come around. And the horse that they had been using for Mr. Ed had died. And they got a zebra on loan from a local zoo. And they would basically not actually literally paint the hair, but they basically did something the equivalent of painting the hair. They trimmed the mane and everything to make the zebra look like a horse. It wasn't going to work on color because the technique they used worked fine on black and white, but not in color. So when everything started, the network started to push to color, Mr. Ed was staying in black and white, which was fine, but audiences wanted color. And so they eventually pulled Mr. Ed off the air. And I bet you guys didn't know that. So this was all documented on Snopes. And of course, down at the bottom, they've got the little citation links that they do to link to the sources. Until you click on one of them and it says, thank you for actually clicking on one of the sources. This story is completely false, but this is an example of, like, we do this all day. People come to us to confirm that what they're finding from other people isn't real. But if you believe us without looking into it, you're still perpetuating the problem. Which kind of pissed me off because I actually was relying on them to give me the truth. But the flip side of that is we can't spend hours a day researching every single little piece of information that we come across. I mean, our society now is so information heavy.
Yeah.
And you do have to find some sources that you know of as being reliable. And, like, okay, so of the places listed in this article, Variety, I generally trust what Variety reports. Now, I did not read what Variety actually stated about this article, so I'm not saying that they did anything right or wrong, but, you know, I consider them a trusted source. They report on entertainment news, and we use some of that here on the podcast network. So then to hear that they may have been involved in reporting this article without actually doing any research before they, like, it's one thing to not research it when you're reading it. It's another thing to not research it when you are the ones posting it. So I don't know. It's really scary because it's one thing when it's just a bunch of, you know, never underestimate the stupidity of the populace. It's another thing where now people are electing leaders of countries based on what they're reading on the internet.
Mm-hmm. I was actually just to see, for curiosity's sake, I got on my Facebook just now and was scrolling through, and it took maybe, I don't know, 20, 25 posts down, and I counted at least three things that were shared, all by different people, different topics, that were from less than reliable places, or places that might be pushing an agenda of said topic.
Right.
Right.
And it was even worse during the election because, you know, you had it from both sides of the aisle, and it was just ridiculous to do that. And then, you know, you have something that's not even politically related, like the CNN porn story. And
just to be even funnier on top of this whole thing, an article on theonion.com today. Obviously, The Onion is a, you know, satirical.
Oh, they're reliable.
Very reliable.
You can rely on them.
But all contrived and all funny. Facebook user verifies truth of article by carefully checking against own preconceived opinions.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's awesome. Perfect. It's so timely.
Yeah. I still love when they had the Onion TV thing. They had
I used to love those.
The daily morning show hosts interviewing the two Boy Scouts about the charity work they were doing by giving free breast cancer screenings. You know, these two, like, 11, 12-year-old boys. Anyway, there was a whole bit for it. But, yeah, it's... and, you know, here's the funny thing, too. We're talking about actually checking what you're reading. But then, apparently, the upcoming generation doesn't even know how to do that. 82% can look at a website and not be able to tell which of the articles on that site are actual articles and which ones are sponsored posts, even when most of them have sponsored post somewhere in the post.
Wow. I think that's even an issue with kids, even from my generation. I mean, I'm 24 years old, and I can remember going into college and not knowing really anything about how to research properly, or, you know, where to go for if I want to find articles about, you know, this topic or that topic. I mean, I think it's not right now it's even worse because, you know, social media was around when I was in, you know, growing up too, but it wasn't nearly as a major part of our life as it is now. And it's really scary to think about that. Not like I remember how difficult it was for me to learn how to do research. And I'm like you, Eric, I hate writing papers. Like, I will write the paper, but I hate doing the research about it.
Right.
And it was much easier for me eventually to, you know where to go if I want to have something reliable. But, you know, I kind of had to really teach myself that and what to do and what not to do and where to go and where not to go. And the fact that it's even worse now for people younger than me is really, really worrying to me.
Yeah. You know, my son watches, we censor what he watches on YouTube, but he's very much into YouTube. He will do everything from watch unboxing of toys, much to my despair, he watches a lot of educational stuff, things about animals. He's obsessed with animals. But there are times he'll come across something else and he will cite something to me as fact. And it'll be something like, there was something about the King Kong movie. He's never seen the original King Kong, but he loves the Peter Jackson King Kong, and he's obsessed with King Kong for some God unknown reason, but he was trying to tell me some fact about the original King Kong movie, and it was something ridiculous. Like at the end of the movie, King Kong gets hauled up into space by aliens or something. I'm like, no, that didn't happen. Yes, it did. No, it really didn't. Yes, it really did. No, Nicholas. Have you seen King Kong? No. Have you seen King Kong? Yes, I've seen King Kong. And no, that doesn't happen. Well, Dad, no offense, but you're wrong. I'm like, okay, so what makes you think I'm wrong? Well, I saw it in a YouTube video. I said, okay, so what? He said, well, the YouTube video wouldn't lie to me. I said, oh, and I would? Excuse me. You're flat out telling me that I don't have the credibility level of a YouTube video. And he said, well, I still love you, Dad. I'm like, no, no, no. Wait, that's not the point. No, stop. Show me this video. And he shows me the video. I said, no, that's wrong. Now we're going to go and look and see what the actual truth is. And I had to explain to him repeatedly. And finally, after about 6 months, it finally set in. I had to say, listen, you've had other people lie to you before, right? He said, yeah. And I said, and you've told lies before. He said, well, yeah. I said, okay. So YouTube is available to anyone. Anybody can post a video on there. So if you wanted to trick people into believing something that wasn't true, there's nobody to stop you from doing it. So they can do that. They can put things up there just to trick you into thinking something that's not true. And it took him a long time to really grasp that, but it's finally sinking in with him that when he hears something online, he needs to go verify whether it's true. So now he'll actually come and ask me, hey, Dad, such and such in this TV show or something, is that true? And I'll say, no, Nicholas, it's not true. And then he'll go, okay, thanks, Dad. Mom, this thing in this TV show, is that true? And so now we have a whole new thing to deal with because apparently I'm still not a reliable source. But it's hard getting kids to realize, well, not even just kids. I mean, like, Chris, we make fun of you being the kid on the network. But I mean, you know, 24, and it took you through college to really feel comfortable, it sounds like, knowing that you know where you're getting your information from and you know you've got reliable sources.
Mm-hmm. I actually, last night, I was, before bed, I was on my phone and I saw a news article that I was interested in. And it was from a relatively reliable source that I always see stuff from. But even then, I was like, well, I want to be sure that I'm getting the right information. So I did a Google search and, you know, had to verify it through a couple of other sites. But yeah, it's something even as simple as that. It's not even doing like a school project. It's just, you know, an interest of mine.
Yeah.
And I really wish that people, especially on Facebook, would, like, all you have to do is look at that little source. It tells you, even if, like, I don't care what the headline says, if it's like, I don't even want to know because I'm afraid I'll make someone mad if I say a certain type of website. But all you have to do is look. It says it right there, whether or not.
Sensationalnews.com.
Exactly. And chances are, if it says, you will not believe what this guy did to his mom.
Right.
Like, if you have to click the article and it's not, like, it's clickbait.
Right. Yep.
It's all about the hits.
So the scary thing is that, oh, I'm going to kill every person in the chat room. I'm not even going to read this stuff online. People in the chat room right now are explaining things that they've read about me on the internet.
Uh-oh.
Like that I love Tatooine and that I'm a Justin Bieber fan and I'm going to skip all of the rest of them just on principle. Love you guys. But, you know, it's scary to think about where things are going to go if we don't get out of this rut. And I guess some could argue we just saw where things are going to go.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, there you have it. A a report that, now, of course, I did not, I didn't research this myself. I did not go and read the report on Wall Street Journal. But, you know, at least we try to cite things here on the network so that if we are given wrong information, we at least, you know, say where we got it from. And, you know, most of the stuff we cover on Outer Rim, Echo Base, things like that, we try to get from multiple reliable sources. I mean, the type of stuff we cover, it's not too hard. We're not trying to break the news. So generally, we give commentary on things. So by the time we're covering it, you know, we pretty much already know whether it's true or not because it's been around for a few days. It's been confirmed, et cetera. Every now and then something pops up where, you know, we're covering that's only 24 hours old. And then it turns out, no, that person did not actually sign on for that film. And then we have to say, yeah, sorry, we were duped.
Yeah. Lou and I were actually talking about something once on Outer Rim. And it was the time when you weren't here, Eric. And I was looking at more articles about the news thing while we were in the middle of the recording. And then I realized that it was either false or something had changed.
Yeah.
So we just blamed it on you since you weren't there. So.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. Hey, you know, but it happens and we try to have integrity and point out our mistakes and move on. So, mm-hmm. All right, people. Well, just be careful on the internet. Don't be stupid.
Don't believe everything you read.
Don't believe everything you read. Don't believe everything you hear on a podcast. Don't believe anything you hear on a podcast. Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, so back to bring it full circle, Final Fantasy 15. Conan O'Brien has a series called Clueless Gamer. He knows nothing about video games, but he gets sent demos of video games that he plays before they come out. It's kind of a promotional thing. A lot of these are hilarious. He and Elijah Wood play Final Fantasy 15. And the guy on Conan's staff who actually does know something about video games is explaining that this final boss battle, it's not even the main quest. This is like an additional thing you can do after you complete the game. It's like a mega boss. Takes 3 days to complete. And they said 3 days? And he said, yes, literally 72 hours to beat this boss. Conan O'Brien literally got out of his chair and slammed him into a wall. it was interesting. Anyway, you should definitely check it out. It turns out that is not true. The publishers have said it's more like 15 hours, not 72 hours. So worry not. And then apparently there's a YouTube video. Somebody beat it in a little under an hour with the right buffs and everything. So again, that whole thing got started just based on him saying something on the Conan O'Brien Clueless Gamer episode that, you know, maybe he was told by one of the developers who was telling him about it because they have to kind of inform him about the game to then pass it along to Conan on the show. That, you know, it took this guy 3 days before he finished the battle, but he might have played it like, you know, 2 hours on day one and an hour on day two you know, two more hours on day three. And this guy just might have misinterpreted it. I'm not saying he did anything nefarious, but, you know, there's another example of something getting
a misunderstanding. Here. Yes.
All right.
We should think of our own thing to come up with to get people to spread around the internet that's not true.
Hey, you know, April Fools for the Force cast, I came up with this idea that near the end of The Force Awakens, the Millennium Falcon was going to crash and that Chewbacca was going to die. I was really close.
You were, yeah.
The Falcon did crash, and it wasn't Chewie that died, but Chewie was injured. And someone else did die. So,
spoilers.
Just saying. Yeah, we should come up with our own thing. They'll see how far it gets. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for this week of Random Chatter. We want to hear your feedback. I'm a little scared to this time around, I guess. But there are good things from the episode you could talk about, too. There's, you know, TV, movies, Double Dare, Final Fantasy. doesn't have to be about the slow downward spiral that our society is diving into headfirst. It can be about happy things. But either way, let us know what you're thinking. Send us a feedback at randomchatter@randomchatter.com.
And of course, you can find us online. We do have a Facebook page. You can find us at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. You can find us on Twitter. The show is actually at Random Chatter. You can find me at Random Chatter. I'm you can find me on Twitter at Lusecki. It's Lusecki. Eric, where can they find you?
At Eric Blythe. It's ErikBlythe.
And Chris had to step away from the mic for a minute here, but he can be found at The Curse of Chris. You can also find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. We have all kinds of shows over there now. It seems to be growing by leaps and bounds every time I turn around.
Yeah.
Random Chatter, of course, Echo Base, Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Case Files, the Random, the Retro Convo, Subox Table, Cordcast, and Ghost Stories.
And we've got a couple more that are going to be starting up this month, too. A couple of short-form video shows.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
And our Star Wars Destiny podcast. We have to,
yeah,
we're gonna have to get that going. We just need a name.
We just need the game.
Yeah. I am your density. All right. We would love it if you tell other people about the network. You can do that by leaving reviews on iTunes or Stitcher or YouTube or wherever you end up getting the shows from. But, you know, even outside of the whole commenting and feedback thing, just tell people about us, you know, talk to your friends and let them know about the shows if you like it. That's a great way to get word of mouth out there. And, you know, the more our community grows, it's your community too. So that means your community is growing as well. So that benefits you as well. So, you know, help spread the word.
And we brought back our live shows. This is our first live show we've done in probably 2-3 months. But
oh no,
yeah, we are doing live shows again now, Mondays at 9 p.m.
Yeah, you just changed the show notes, didn't you? I screwed it up at the top of the show, didn't I?
You did, yeah. Well, no, somebody put it back in here, so I figured I'd talk about it again. Why not?
You should have corrected me then. See, you got to check your sources.
I never check your sources. I just, you know, I just trust everything you say implicitly.
Well, that's silly.
Yeah. But we do have the live shows back Mondays and Thursdays now at 9 p.m. We're doing one show on Monday and two shows on Thursdays. You can find them at randomchatter.com/live. You can also find them on Ustream. Just search for Random Chatter. And we'd love to have you as part of the chat room. So join us.
And we want to give a shout out to all of our Patreon donors. We really appreciate the support that you guys have been giving the network. We just changed our perks in November. And we are about to see the fruits of some of those happening very soon. We are going live now with our Ask Me Anything videos and our Rantosaurus videos.
Oh boy!
Oh, dude, I've got some good rants already. it's on. It's going to be good. So everybody will get to see those. The Patreon donors will get to see them first, and the Patreon donors are the ones that actually submit the content for those shows. They're the ones that give me a topic to rant on, or they're the ones that send in the Ask Me Anything questions. So that's one of the benefits of being a Patreon donor. Another one is all of the donors, regardless of what level, get to participate. excuse me. Yeah, it's getting to the end of the show. Get to participate in our Slack community, which is awesome. It's a lot of fun. And if you haven't checked that out already, I highly recommend you do it. Head over to patreon.com/randomchatter to find out more about how you can help support the network. And that is it for this episode of Random Chatter. Thanks for hanging out there with us. Don't forget to check out the Clayton interview on Cordcast and last week's episode with Paul Herman of Random Chatter if you didn't check it out, and the recent episode of Echo Base with Jonah Marie. Check those out as well. And until next time, take care.